The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Hey, folks. Well, I guess I lied yesterday. I was only supposed to do the second hour of the show, but then they called me back late last night and realized that they wanted me to do the whole 2 hours today. So that special broadcast is not going to be on, so I'm here for 2 hours. Now, I don't know if any of you are even listening right now, thinking that I'm not going to be on, or if any of you actually listen when I am on. I don't know. But we're here at 888-346-9144. To start the show today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow. Should be an interesting show tomorrow also as we head Friday in and have some unique things to say tomorrow and some things that are in my mind and in my heart. So tune in tomorrow for tomorrow's show, 9 to 11 Central, 10 to 12 on the East Coast, and obviously 7 to 9 on the West Coast. And Mountain Time, you're somewhere in between. You're 8 to 10, I guess. These four time zone things will get you. Folks, do me a favor and write this number down. I'm doing this for a friend, and she's a difference maker. She's got a master's degree from the University of Oklahoma in human relations, and she's trying to make a difference. And I'm hoping that you guys, if you got a book sitting around, trying to enhance education internationally, as well as in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and even if you're not from Dallas-Fort Worth, help. We got till December 21st. And if you could plop a book in the mail, some old book, I don't care if it's paperback, hardback, I know a lot of you read, plop it in the mail. Let me give you a number to call. It's 214-531-4166. It's 214. It's the Book Drive for Education is what it's called, and it's K through 12. So a book that's, you know, don't be sending Playboy magazines, although I'm sure somewhere in the K through 12 there's people there who actually do read them. But K through 12, if you got kids' books sitting around, or Dr. Seuss, or Christmas book that you may have had, you know, your last child, and it may now be a teenager and doesn't read those anymore, donate them to somebody who needs them. You're enhancing education. You're making a difference. Again, it's the Book Drive for Education. It's a very dear friend of mine. And it's here in DFW, December 21st, so you got to get in the mail quickly. And I'm sure they'll take them if they're sent late. But let's try to make a difference at 214. Give them a call, and they'll tell you where to drop it off, 214-531-4166. That's 214-531-4166. Tell them you heard it on this show and that you want to send a book or 100 books or 20 books. We all got them. I must have 1,000 hardback books sitting around that I've read. Just give them a call again at 214-531-4166 to my good friend Tisha Marie, who is, again, a master's student and loves to make a difference and has a child of her own. And K through 12, you know, we don't do 10th graders read, I'm sure, John Grisham books and the rest of it. So let's send them out there. Save money. Save these kids from having to go spend money on all these books that we let sit around and gain dust after we've read them. Hardback, paperback, whatever it is, just make a simple phone call to 214-531-4166 or make a difference. You can, at this time of year, we're all into giving. Think about it. If everybody were to send two books, how many kids would be reading? If everybody were to send two books, Again, call 214-531-4166. Tell them you heard it on this show. I'm not getting anything out of it. I don't care about that. I just want them to know that we got good listeners and that people care and that you're trying to make a difference for the drive for education. And give that a call. Again, 214-531-4166. Thanks for listening. Like I said, it surprised me. I didn't know I was going to be on this first hour, but there's some things on my mind, and there's always enough sports to talk. Prayers go out to Bob Feller's family. 92 dies of leukemia. Funny little story. Remember Rob Nen? I think it was the 97 World Series when Nen was clocking out at 102 miles an hour. And somebody asked Bob Feller, well, have you ever thrown 102? He goes, yeah, that was my changeup. Bob Feller, a tremendous, tremendous career. I mean, you're talking one of the great pitchers and people of all time. He won 20 games before he was 21, pitched three no-hitters, 12 one-hitters, won a World Series in 1948. His numbers would have been even greater, but it was interrupted, obviously, by World War II, as Bob Feller was pitching that time. 266 wins during 18 seasons, all with the same team, the Cleveland Indians. So they lose one of their favorite sons, Cleveland does, and Bob Feller dies at 92 of leukemia. All right, I watched Hoops last night, and we're going to, you know, we talked the NBA, we'll talk, as football ramps up here, we got some things, Jacksonville Jaguars in football, obviously by beating the Colts, can clinch a division situation there, and Jack Del Rio's fighting for his job as Jacksonville Jaguars are fighting to make sure their owner's happy, but can they put away the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis? If you're going to put them away, this is the time to do it with a team that's been banged up. You take a look at, you know, Pittsburgh and the Jets. Are the Jets reeling big time? Can they come back and fight against Pittsburgh and do something, or is Pittsburgh going to physically maul them after their two back-to-back poor performances by the Jets? Sal Alossi, they've looked into it further. I guess he had premeditated this completely, told a bunch of the guys that were on the inactive list or what have you to form a wall in the special teams play to make the gunner run down the sidelines and not be able to get by him, and then the knee there. So he's been suspended indefinitely. They're taking it deeper. The Brett Favre case, Roger Goodell says, should be have an answer soon. Does it matter now? Three games to go, regardless of what comes down 2 years later. And if some media person out there doesn't ask Roger Goodell why 2010 and why didn't you have it in 2008, some media person doing their due diligence and the proper job should ask that. But if it comes out that, oh, yeah, he sent pictures and it was inappropriate and we're going to slap this man, oh, what? We're going to send him off on a black horse instead of a white horse because he's a bad guy. He's not the knight in shining armor. He did something 2 years ago. Why still haven't we ever heard of any of her correspondence with him? Why is it the girl always seems to get protected? We're going to protect the girl from this, but we're going to rip the guy. I still to this day do not believe Brett Favre wasn't provoked or didn't send some text message or something. He just sent it, and the girl just sat there and just kept taking them and said, no, Brett, no, Brett, no, Brett. He just kept sending them. I don't believe people are that stupid unless you're a stalker and you're sitting down in your basement at 4 o'clock in the morning looking all over this stuff with your hand on your dick and the other one on the phone or the computer. Who does that other than nutbags that belong in jail? I'm not defending from – I don't know what went on. And apparently neither does the NFL or anybody else. But this is supposed to come to a close. Oh, great. Let's slap Brett's hand the last 2 weeks of the season, last 3 weeks. Big deal. Give me a break. Nobody's hurt in it. Jen Sturger got her 15 minutes of fame back. I mean, I wouldn't pay her a penny. I wouldn't pay her one red cent. She may be the nicest girl in the world. I wouldn't pay her one red cent. I'd let it play itself out. Oh, well, I don't agree. Big deal. Great. Thanks. I mean, so what? Tarnish his career? Give me a break. Good gracious. If it wasn't a problem in 2008, it's the one question I don't ever hear anybody give me an answer. Why isn't it a problem in 2010? And if texting somebody is under the law of harassment because she was a jet server or hostess or whatever it is she did, save it, folks. You'll never be able to convince me that there wasn't a two-way communication line open between those two. What he did was wrong because it's morally wrong with his wife. What he did with her, it's their business to take care of. I'm not buying it because it sure as heck wasn't sexual harassment in 2008. But all of a sudden, it's sexual harassment at the end of Brett Favre's career in 2010. She's awfully funny. And if I was an executive, she wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't give her a job because when we talk about people that are, that we can't hire that guy because Mike Leach did this at the University of Texas Tech or Sean Salisbury or Joe Blow or Mike or whoever. Oh, but we're not going to hire her because you know what? She seems like the type that'll walk down the hallway looking good, get you a bat your eye, have a doggone mirror on her, see that you look down at her ass when you walk by and turn you in and say that you not only looked at her ass, you grabbed it, you asked her if you could see her G-string panties, and then you're in trouble and you have no defense against it. And there are those walking down the hallways of corporate America, people, looking to hoodwink, and they're there. And there's guys like that, too. Don't misunderstand me. Plenty of guys like that. I'm just putting this on women. And there's plenty of pigs that are guys that cause trouble. But 2 years later, if I do something in 2002 and all of a sudden the girl comes back in 2006, or if I do something in 2006, or if Brett does something in 2008 and all of a sudden we're here about it in 2010, sure didn't bother too much the last 2 years, did it? Interesting. I think it's a fraud. I think it's a farce. I think the NFL should be ashamed of themselves for even looking into it. And all we did was the world became a dumber place when we looked into this investigation over a stupid text message. The world became a dumber place. And apparently the NFL's front offices and the rest of them became a dumber place as well. Those are a few things going on inside sports. And watching hoops, and we'll talk more about football, the Patriots have themselves a big game this week, another one. And they just keep knocking down. Can the Green Bay Packers get Aaron Rodgers to play? They say it's going to be a game-time decision. I don't think it's going to matter, Aaron Rodgers or no Aaron Rodgers, with this team, the way the Patriots and the power rankings. And don't look now, but the Saints are creeping. The Saints are creeping into the power rankings, and they're at the top of it. I mean, they're not at the top, but they're in the top team. So when all is said and done with the NFC, don't be surprised if the New Orleans Saints are still the team that's sitting right there in the catbird seat, waiting to play in Dallas. They got Atlanta, they got Chicago, but you ain't telling me Chicago's going. You don't believe Chicago can beat New Orleans, and neither do I. Atlanta maybe, and a healthy Green Bay Packer team, but they're real and just trying to stay alive to get in. How is it? And we've talked about this, and it's something that, and we'll hit it more, and I'll save this topic, and maybe for the second hour, but you think about this. We got to have reseeding, folks. There's no way that a team that has a record of 4 wins better than another team should have to go to St. Louis, San Francisco, Arizona, whoever, Seattle, to play an away game on a team that goes 7-9 or 8-8 and wins the division. There's absolutely no way. It's not fair. It is absolutely not fair that a division that pathetic, and it's not just one pathetic team, it's four pathetic teams. Four pathetic teams. And you could tell me that St. Louis has made great improvement, and they have. They're still pathetic. You could tell me the Arizona they're pathetic. You could tell me the 49ers started out 0-5, and now they're pathetic. And you could tell me about the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are on the road play like little girls, and at home play like little guys. They're not great. They're not a great football team. And no wonders and miracles being worked in Seattle. The NFC West is the most embarrassing football conference division I've seen in football in a lot of years. It's embarrassing. And they have no business hosting a home game against a team that's far better than them. Well, could they possibly win a game? I guess they possibly could, the home game. But my thing is, I hope that the NFC West is eliminated with one game and gets their ass kicked. And it just validates how poor the NFC West is. How awful are they? Take a look around. We'll talk about that as the day goes on. I want to hit this Celtics-Knicks game. There's a rivalry back, and whether you want to call it a rivalry or not, the New York Knicks are back. As long as they can stay healthy. 9 straight games, Amari Stoudemire's pumped in 30-plus points. How good is he? And if you're sleeping on the San Antonio Spurs and the Dallas Mavericks in the West, then you're really not watching basketball. Not so fast that we're all of a sudden just going to hand this crown to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Spurs' point differential, they're winning by 10 points over their opponents. And the Mavericks just keep winning. They're, 20-5 now? But nobody talks about them. And they've got the best shooter in the NBA, in Dirk Nowitzki. Yes, folks, Boston fans, Laker fans, your guy can't shoot better than Nowitzki. Matter of fact, can barely swing off his nuts. That's how good a shooter Nowitzki is. And I'm not a Maverick guy. I've been a season ticket holder. I'm a Laker fan. There ain't no better shooter. I don't care if you're 5'11 or 7 foot. You ain't shooting better than Dirk Nowitzki. This is Voice America Sports.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
the shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's S-E-A-N-S-A-L-S at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
The Boston Celtics and New York Knicks got it on last night. Watched the whole game. Pathetically boring my life is. I'm sitting in my house watching. I might be. There's such a misconception about me and my social life, folks. If you had any idea, what kind of reclusive guy I am, outside of being a dad and my kids, and watching sports and DVR and like Criminal Minds or CSIs, or watching Hawaii Five-0, I don't do anything. I mean, I'm a dad and I get out, but I don't do much. I don't socialize. I mean, I've been to one function. I haven't been to a Christmas party in 4 years. Ever since the incident with 2006 that I got screwed over for, and, you know, we all make mistakes, and I'm not pointing a finger, but where it ran rampant with this stupid cell phone crap, and it's devastated my life. I don't do anything anymore. I'm actually afraid of it. I don't even socialize. I completely ruined my social life. I don't date. I don't do any of it. And the sad thing about it is, over something so silly, some 7 second incident that was just kind of a fraternity joke, has caused me. And like I said, we all do sophomoric stupid things. But how many years can you take abuse over something so stupid? But it's beat me so far into the ground. And I get, when I'm sitting here thinking about the holiday season, the rest of it, my social life is so misled. Oh, Sean, you must go out and have a good time. I don't do anything. I gave up season tickets so I didn't have to go out in public. Like I said, I haven't been to a Christmas party in 4 years. For the first time in 47 years, Christmas is my time of year. This is my time of year to celebrate and rest of it. And my ex and stuff, and she's so good at it. We've had unbelievable times. I get more excited for Christmas than the kids. This is my first time in my life I haven't put a tree up. There's not one thing in my house that signifies Christmas. So you got me wrong, folks. I do this show. I've got a passion for what I do. Being a dad is my number one priority. Sometimes you always say, I can be better at everything. I wish I had the social life of some of these celebrities and some of the things I read, some of my friends or some of the Facebook posts. I don't have one. It'd take pulling teeth to get me out of my place. I don't trust a soul, and that's my biggest problem. And see, I'm very difficult. I don't share with anybody. I probably share more on this show than I do with anybody else in my life, other than my kids. I always try to be honest and upfront with my kids. and tell them everything because my kids are my life bread. I mean, that's what I do. It's my children, and I trust them. But outside of that, I don't know if I have much trust for anybody in the world. I have such great friends on Facebook and acquaintances on Facebook, and I love sports. But, the last 4 years, when you lose a dad, lose a career, go through the abuse on the Internet, wondering when you're going to get your career back, and wonder if you can ever get your career back, it kind of hits you. And wonder if you're ever going to get back to the peace of mind that you had in 2006, and now it's 2010. And, not a day goes by that I don't think about three things in my life. My father, who died in 2007, the silly controversy at ESPN that cost me what I was, no offense, but there was no better football analyst in the business, period. And that was in 2006. I still worked for two more years and had a back turned on me, and that's life. You make a mistake, but I didn't do anything that was heinous. I've never been to jail. I don't cause anybody trouble. I don't harass women. I don't bother anybody. It was a silly mistake among guys. Got to a third party, and I got in trouble for it and didn't sell out two other guys that are big stars in our industry, huge stars in our industry that if I told you right now, you'd be shocked. But I let that go, and it has affected my life since. So I would encourage you guys this holiday season to be careful. If you're some sort of a celebrity, be careful with people around you. If you're not a celebrity, just be careful with who you hang around and what you do, and put your trust in the people you know that are going to be there for you. Because for 4 years, I still haven't recovered from losing my dad or losing my career or the emotional and mental beating that went through that of every day waking up when you go into a restaurant and somebody saying, oh, yeah, man, you got in trouble for yourself. I mean, that's and this Favre thing helps me to think about that. And anytime anybody's going through this, I'm thinking, man, here I am. I'm involved in charity. I'm not patting myself on the back. Involved in putting over 50 kids through college. I raise my own kids. I've been an honorable, faithful man. I pay tax. I do everything I'm supposed to do. And over this, this is what happens when somebody Googles your name and most of it's lies. But you go through it and you fight. And so I've learned. And at this holiday season, when it's sad for me because I miss my dad. At times you can go into the tank and you find, I said, man, when am I ever going to get that peace of mind back? When am I ever going to gather that peace of mind back? And to be honest, folks, I still don't have it. I still don't have it. I know very few people that spend 20 hours a day in their place, and I'm one of them. And the other 4 hours are spent with my kids if we're outside the house. And I hope to someday change it. But I'm passionate. I love what I do on the show. I love sports. I think I've done paid my penance to society. I think I've been punished enough. Like I said, I don't want any freebies. I don't want anything. It's a reflective time in all of our lives, and I reflect that 4 years ago at this time, you're sitting on top of the world, and 4 years later, normally the punishment you take should fit the crime. I didn't commit a crime, and I sure as hell tell you I've taken more punishment. It's cost me everything. Mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, and career-wise, it's completely beat me in the ground. But being on Voice America Sports has helped me to battle back and hopefully can make some kind of comeback like Michael Vick or make some kind of comeback like Robert Downey Jr. Don't know if I ever be able to, but you know what? All you can do is plug away. But it gets frustrating, and then you read stuff about people who've done stuff wrong or done stuff right, and it just makes it very difficult. You feel for those people that have to go through it. You really feel for those people that have to go through it and how they're recovering in their lives. So my point is, at this holiday season, don't be afraid to go up and put your arm around somebody. Or don't be afraid to go up and just, even if you don't know them, just give them a little caring because you don't know what they're going through in their life. And I think about whether it's soldiers, I think about our family. You never know, or somebody we've lost to suicide or getting hurt or dying or what have you. Think about this holiday season. Somebody out there probably needs you to put your arm around them and tell them you care. So do that. My thing is I just don't let anybody do it because I stay hidden in my apartment in my house the whole time. So anyway, just thought I'd let you know that if you're going through one of those days, and I'm sure all of you have those, or going through that time in your life, extend yourself to somebody else because I think we all feel better when we help somebody else, even if we don't help ourselves. Just make sure you extend that to somebody else because it can be a difficult time on them. But I love comebacks. I love redemption stories. I think that's why I'm so fond of what Michael Vick goes through. I love the truth. I love being unfiltered. I actually love sharing stuff with you guys that I have never shared with anybody else, not in a newspaper article, not in my life, not anywhere. I share stuff on this show. I almost feel like I'm sitting in a living room talking to five of you. Now, I don't know how many are out there listening, maybe 10, maybe 10,000, but it's just, you know, you go through things and you learn stuff as a person that you try to set up and set your life out for the rest of your life so you don't make certain mistakes again or say something hurtful to somebody else, or if you're in a relationship, that you pay more attention to the person, or you don't hurt the girl's feelings that you're dating, or that you don't make a decision that would cause your career and millions of dollars of lost, or you don't you make sure you tell your kid you love them, because when they go away from college, then basically they're gone because they have their own life. So just remember that, you know, somebody's probably going through something worse than you, and remember to put your arm around them. It's tough, so. But it's always good for me at times, you know, once every couple months to share certain feelings on this show, because I think we all do. When I'm listening to a radio show or television show, when somebody gets personal or private, it kind of makes you feel like you're in the living room with them and know them. Well, there you get an idea. And I was laughing because I just read some of the social stuff that goes on during the holiday season. And, you know, I haven't been to a Christmas party in 4 years, and I used to go to all of them. Used to go to all of them, all my buddies, and you go to a Christmas party, and I'd actually be the one that would dress up as Santa Claus for home parties, and, oh, yeah, was it fun when the wives wanted to sit on and tell Santa what they want for Christmas, but I'd dress up for Santa Claus for the kids and hand out gifts, and I'd be that guy because I loved it so much. And it's amazing what one little thing that can do to change your life around. And when Christmas comes around, I don't dress up as Santa anymore, and I just kind of stay home. So I miss those times. So if you're out there being Santa, don't miss those times. The Celtics and the Knicks got it on last night. And I'm watching this from Madison Square Garden, and the chance for MVP came out early, as my friend Anthony said yesterday on the show. The chance for MVP, talking about Amari Stoudemire, came out. I'm telling you what, this is a really good team. There's an energy about them now. What's going to end up costing them and not allow them to get into the NBA Finals or to be that team is they don't play enough defense. They score, they outscore, but it's the Suns. It's the Suns when they were running, and Stoudemire was a part of that. Steve Nash, you're going to score 124 and hopefully win 124 to 120. But when the defense gets stops like the Celtics do, you're going to end up losing it, and albeit by just a very, very one partial tick of the clock did Amari Stoudemire not get that three-pointer off, or it would have been a 42-point night for Amari Stoudemire and a victory for the Knicks when he hit that three-point smooth jumper on the road. But, boy, Stoudemire's getting to the rim. He's playing better defense. It's amazing how you can get enthused. Stoudemire's always been, I don't know if I want to call him a defensive liability, but a guy who didn't really work hard on the defensive end. Now his legs are healthy. He's running up and down the court. He's playing the defensive end better. He's helping better when he's away help and he has to come in and help on somebody getting beat to the basket and block a shot. He's playing at both ends, playing physical inside, but can just sit there and pound the perimeter jumper. I understand why the chance of MVP are coming out in New York. They should. He is the MVP at this point. No question the MVP in the NBA right now resides in New York. And it's got to be exciting times this Christmas time. I mean, when's the last time the Knicks were significant before Christmas? Hell, when's the last time the Knicks were significant after Christmas? But great times in New York. And I was looking after we talked about venues and best places to go. Was thinking about that. And you know what? Amare Stoudemire, that venue, I understand why it's rocking right now. Would have loved to have been there. Spike Lee looked like he was 15 years old again, getting excited. I mean, the Knicks basketball is back, and when Knicks basketball is good, the whole NBA is better. We say that about certain things. When Notre Dame football is better, it seems like college football is better. When North Carolina is winning, college basketball is better. When the Oakland Raiders play better, it seems like the NFL is better. The Knicks play better, it's better. It's just better for the NBA, better for rivalries. Get the Celtics. And, you know, Paul Pierce, what a clutch shot he hit on that step back, you know, space-clearing jumper, and then did the old, you know, ran around and hell, you know, flew around the room and getting excited and getting people pumped up and doing that right there in Madison Square Garden. And the Knicks won't forget it. But I hope we get a rivalry back, and this may be something for the Knicks, but they got to get stops. They preach offense, but you can't outscore everybody. You just can't outscore everybody. But it was fun to watch that basketball game last night. It was fun to watch that game. Really exciting. And if they're able to pull off something, and you listen to the announcers talk about everybody's free to go but Stoudemire, to try and get Carmelo Anthony. Now, the one thing that I'm looking at some of these teams that are playing really good basketball is deep benches. I watched the Mavericks last night. Their bench is deep. They're going 8-9 deep that can make a difference. They really are. And getting minutes. You watch the Knicks. They're getting some good bench play. Some guys coming off the bench and playing well. We know the Celtics are deep, and they're still injured with a couple guys, Shaq out, but they are deep. It doesn't matter. I mean, they can. Nate Robinson comes off the bench for an injured, for the injured point guard. Now, why am I losing my mind on the best point guard in the league? Had 14 assists last night, but Nate Robinson comes off the bench. How do you forget the point guard you talk about all the time? How's my mind already forgot about that? You can't forget that point guard, can you? Can you? Let me get it before we go to break. Why am I losing my think, Sean. Oh, Rajon Rondo. There you go. And a name like that you don't forget. But Rajon had 14 points, injured his ankle. Nate Robinson comes off the bench, plays lights out. Rondo ho-hummed it last night to 14 assists. Deep bench is what I'm talking about. Lakers, deep bench. Deep enough that they can get rid of Vujicic and go get Joe Smith and still be fine. And they lit it up last night and buying himself. And we'll come back and talk more NBA. But I love the enthusiasm in the Garden last night, Madison Square Garden. And the Lakers, better out west, San Antonio kicking ass. How can we never talk about Ginobili at the top of the list as players in this league? We should. Come back, talk more NBA. And I want you to tell you the list of guys who are going to get crushed most by the strike as far as salary-wise. And you'll be shocked at some of the names that are on here. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, folks. Yeah, no laughing when I get emotional like that when I talk about the holiday season and the effect it's had on me and my life, and in particular the last 4 years. It's kind of, it's kind of good for me to get it out. Like I said, when you won't even call a friend and tell them this, but you'll come on the radio and talk to a bunch of strangers and tell them this, I must be out of my mind. But that's okay. Just to let you know that this show is real, that I am real, that I promised I'd give you insights that nobody else across the country would give you. And Unfiltered will continue to do that. And now we have 2 hours a day to do it. And just trying to give you insight on what may go on in somebody's life. And it goes on in my life. Every day I wonder. Every day I wonder where my career is going. Every day I wonder, you know, what could have been, where I was 4 years ago to now. Every day I wonder if I'm making enough difference in somebody else's life. Every now and every day I wonder, man, Sean, can you do more? Every day I wonder, man, how a career that was on top, it fell so fast over nothing, how do you get back to it? And the only reason I ever want to get back to making a comeback to where I was and even better than I was is so I can make a difference. So I could have a platform to make a difference. That's the only reason. I don't care about walking into a bar and having people say, hey, you're Sean Salisbury. Matter of fact, I've become so uncomfortable with it, I get beads of sweat. And I've become reclusive in 4 years. I'll shy away. I grow my beard out. I wear a hat. I put on a big jacket. I am that guy that you think about. And I've become that way. And I'm trying not to, and I treat everybody kindly. If somebody comes up and says something to me, I've never, ever said I won't sign an autograph at a dinner table. I've never, ever looked in a guy's face and said, you're an idiot, unless they're treating somebody with disrespect. But I'll always take the time to do it. To the time it's to a fault where it's cost me relationships because people don't think that I pay them enough attention. So I'll do it. But I am that guy that you say, man, where'd he go to? He disappeared. He used to come out all the time. I'm him. I live it. And one incident in my life has caused it. And I've suffered through it for 4 years. And I never talked to anybody about it. A few close friends, maybe. Now I'm talking to you about it. So at this Christmas season, like I said, please, don't laugh at those of us who go through these times. To me, it's not about being a superstar, to be the superstar, to be able to make a, you know, oh, good, man, girls love him because he's on TV. It has nothing to do with that. For me, it's wanting to get back because I knew I was making a difference in that position because you'd be able to give speeches, you'd be able to go to good schools. People wanted to see you so you could make a difference in lives or write a book that talks about the comeback and what you went through so somebody can open it up and you know somebody's going through their life and they can read it and you can change their life. That's the only reason I want to get back on top. I've lived the celebrity life, and you know what? I'm not real fond of it. But you know what? And I also understand why people are fond of it. But to me, it's an opportunity to have a forum to make a difference. And that's why I'm unfiltered on this show and just try to tell the truth and be honorable and honest. And it makes me so emotional because I've lived it. I went from not a care in the world 4 years ago to be able to make a difference and being on every possible show you could be on, and people want you to be on them, and then you were able to say something that could maybe touch somebody else's life, to disappearing, completely disappearing for years. And until Voice America Sports and me doing Fox Sports Local here reappeared for 4 years, it was 2 years. It happened 4 years ago, but I left ESPN in 2008. So going on 3 years, I disappeared from the media completely and from society, completely disappeared. And the only reason you come back is to try and make a difference and hope that you can tell a story to somebody who's listening that says, damn, I'm going through that in my life on a different way, but I'm going through that. And being afraid to talk about it, which I have been for years, I'm not afraid to talk about it. Just tell it like it is now. That's just me. That's why I wanted to name this show Unfiltered, because I wanted nobody to come on here and feel like if they said something, somebody was going to make a mockery of them. Wouldn't do that. So at this time of year, just you know, and I'll try to give you constant reminders, but remember, heck, the reason I can talk about it is I'm living it. Not lived in the past. I'm living it every single day. I live it every day. And the only reason I want to make this comeback is, yes, we all want to get paid. Yes, we all want to have a career. Yes, we all want to. But my biggest thing is to try and make a difference, to tell somebody that you can go from the penthouse to the outhouse and still survive it. And you can take an onslaught of people punishing you. You can take an onslaught of horrible, awful internet things to make you sound like just a terrible person. That you could take the onslaught of you know, the person standing next to you saying, oh, you're that guy. You can stand in there and take that onslaught. Now, how long you can take it remains to be seen. I think 4 years for me is probably enough. So I'm trying to switch that perception and trying to make it different. Because I never, ever bothered anybody a day in my life. So you out there, help that person standing next to you that has that feeling of, sinking feeling of if they can get out of it, and they're hurting because somebody continues to talk bad about them. And if you're part of the gossip of a friend or part of the gossip to make yourself feel better, shame on you. If you're part of the gossip in somebody else's life that's close to you, shame on you. Because it ruins lives. And for me, it's been 4 years of a very, very, very difficult time in my life. And thank goodness I got my kids and a few close friends. But I'm living proof of what it's like to be reclusive and go and disappear and try to fight back. And I hope I can fight back and make it back so I can actually write a book to tell people out there that there is a way. But you run into brick walls along the way, and people change. People do change. People do change. Well, is the NFL strike going to change some people? Is it going to change some people? Oh, being emotional is not my MO, but I am unfiltered. And when you're unfiltered, you're emotional. And while a lot of guys, the big shots in certain radio and TV, wouldn't let you see their emotions, I normally wouldn't. But, I don't care. I don't care if somebody criticizes it. I don't care if somebody says, man, Salisbury had tears in his eyes talking on the show about what he's been through. But I know it's not just me. My tears are out there for people that are going through it. That you read. You can read between the lines when people are suffering. You can read it. Somebody who's lost a loved one, you can read it. And I'm more in tune with it now than I ever have been because I live it. Every day I get out of bed, I live what certain people are going through. And I feel for them. And I've always felt for them and had a tender heart for them. But when your life's on top of the world, you feel for them, but you'll stop by and give a word of advice or do it, but you don't stop by long because you're afraid it's going to interrupt your run. Well, my run got interrupted, and I've had nothing but time to stop and think about those people that are going through those things. And I care about them, even the ones I don't know. So people can laugh and joke and say, Salisbury, this is supposed to be the unfiltered, hard-ass guy gets after it, telling you like passionate all the time. Well, this is passionate for me, too. And so every day of my life, 2 hours a day, to beat down sports, you get to a point in time where, every now and then you got to share real-life stories with people. And at Christmas time is probably a pretty good time to share a real-life story. So just so you know, I don't live high on the hogs. I'm not out partying. I'm not out chasing women. I'm not out doing those things that a lot of people seem to think you are. It's tough enough for me to barely leave my house every day other than to be with my kids. You guys go to a Christmas party, I'm going to a movie alone. That's just the way I do it. And I love going to a movie alone. But what I'm saying is, don't believe the perception of what a person's life until you actually know that person. I'm trying to give you some insight on my life and what goes on because it's unfiltered, and I want you guys to feel like you're sitting in my living room talking with me. I do, because it's not fun to have a radio person talk at you to tell you everything that you're supposed to know and supposed to do. But I think it's kind of cool when you have a radio person who's lived a pretty good life, lived a charmed life at times, and also been knocked to the bottom of it where, been kicked in the teeth and trying to get back up and is on one knee right now. Trying to get back up. I think people want real life stories, not sob stories that you get a pat on. Believe me, I'm a big enough prick and just tough enough that I don't have to have somebody, I don't need an ass kisser. That's not what I'm looking for. And I don't need handouts, none of that. But just so somebody could look at it and say, damn, he sure is willing to share his life because I want my radio show and Unfiltered to be a conversation with each other. I don't want my radio show to be a conversation at you where I'm talking at you. Now, I'll get after a hardcore opinion, tell you you're wrong, you'll tell me I'm wrong. That's great. It's banter, respectful banter. You hug each other and you go about it on your way. But I want you guys to feel when you listen to Unfiltered that you can say what you want without being judged, that you can do what you want without being judged, and that you can actually realize that you're sitting in my living room or in my studio, and we're just hanging out, man. We're just hanging out. And I'm touched with a bunch of emotion today, and I'm just hanging out with you. Think about this with the lockout. The 10 players in the NFL lockout will hurt most. Now, I think this is kind of odd. This is the 10 players in the lockout that have been making a lot of money that I don't know if it's going to hurt most. And we're going to come back and talk about it. It's also going to hurt the guy who makes $500,000. It's going to hurt the guy that makes $600,000, $300,000. It's going to hurt everybody. Some got more saved than others. Some may be broke during the lockout. Now, I know we don't feel sorry for them. But it's kind of funny, the names that are on this list, and you're saying something's missing, something's not right. But if the strike looms, these guys are going to lose a lot of money. But I don't know if it hurts them the most. It hits them in the wallet the most because they have the most, but it's all relative to the rookie who's only making $400,000 a year. after tag. I mean, it hurts him too, doesn't it? He may have two kids at home. But I'm going to give you a list of people on here and the money they're going to make and kind of where they'd rank as far as great players in the league. We're coming back on Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury. Emotional, but a good day. Hope you guys are doing well today. This is Voice America Sports. We're unfiltered.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
Take the bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day, on the radio, and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
You know, with all the social media, you can find out pretty much anything you want, can't you? Find out pretty much anything you want. Well, it didn't take social media to find this out. The 10 players in the NFL lockout were hurt most. That's the headline says. And I always wondered who were the big salaried guys, but, you know, I mean, I know who the big salaried guys are, but some that sneak in. So I'm not surprised that this is on this list, but I'm also shocked at some of the names that are not on it. And remember, it's not just the $10 million guy that's going to be hurt. It's going to be everybody that's hurt. If you've been making $10 million for 3 or 4 years, if you're fortunate enough to have kept a lot of it, then this lockout won't hurt you as much, if there is one. 1,700 players are going to lose about $4.5 billion in the league were to shut down the entire 2011 season, Forbes magazine says. Don't be surprised if Reggie Bush, Ben Roethlisberger, and Carson Palmer are among the loudest voices lobbying to the NFL and its labor issues to avoid a lockout. Well, here's the top 10 list, folks. The number one paid player in 2011 is going to be Elvis Dumervile of the Denver Broncos at $14 million a year. You heard me. Good player. Did you hear what I said? Elvis Dumervile. $14 million first. Mario Williams with the Texans has had an injury-riddled year but still plays, goes out there every game, to the most part, has up until this week. $13.8 million. Mark Sanchez is third at $13.5 million. Reggie Bush at $11.8 million. Missed most of the season, been banged up. Ben Roethlisberger at $11.6 million. Carson Palmer at $11.5 million. Dwight Freeney at $11.4 million. Jake Long, the offensive tackle for the Dolphins, at 10.7. Adrian Peterson, 10.7. And Calvin Johnson, 10.5. Those are the people among the NFL to be the 10 highest salaries next season. Now, this is an overall or bonus. This is the salary they're going to receive in 2011 if it's shut down. Elvis Dumervile at $14 million. The number is 888-346-9144. Is going to lose the most of any player in the NFL at $14 million. We don't get to Adrian Peterson until ninth. Some would argue the best running back, along with Chris Johnson. Let's see, and names missing from the. I don't see Tom Brady's name on here, best quarterback in the league. Don't see Peyton Manning. Probably, I mean, forget the numbers and the interceptions the last 3 weeks. He's right there with him. Drew Brees. Not on here. Phillip Rivers, not on here. So we don't have the we don't get to one of the best quarterbacks in the league until we've been Aaron Rodgers not on here. We don't get to one of the best quarterbacks in the league until we get to fifth, and that's Ben Roethlisberger at 11.6. The best running back in the league we get to ninth. Calvin Johnson's right there at the top running back wide receivers. He's 10th. He's not. He may not be first, but he's probably second or third. I would say Andre Johnson's at the top of the list. He's nowhere to be seen in here. You get Dwight Freeney, great pass rusher. I don't see Polamalu's name. I don't see Ed Reed's name. I don't see James Harrison's name. Huh. Amazing. I don't see any of those guys' names. That's your list. For if they hold out in 2000, I mean, if there's a lockdown in 2011, it's a work stoppage. Dumervile, $14 million. Mario Williams, $13.8 million. Sanchez, $13.5 million. Reggie Bush, $11.8 million. Ben Roethlisberger, $11.6 million. Palmer, $11.5 million. Freeney, $11.4 million. Jake Long, $10.7 million. Adrian Peterson, $10.7 million. And Calvin Johnson, $10.5 million. Those are your top 10 2011 salaries, folks. Is there anything wrong with the NFL? Some good names on there. There's some good names on there. The three best quarterbacks and the four best quarterbacks in football name aren't on there. Brady, Manning, Rivers, Brees. Who are they? They're not on there. Well, let me go through this again. Let's see how many of these guys have Super Bowl rings. So that'd be interesting. Dumervile, none. Mario Williams, none. Sanchez, none. Reggie Bush, one. Roethlisberger, two. Carson Palmer, none. These are off the top of my head that I know. Dwight Freeney, one. Jake Long, none. Adrian Peterson, none. Calvin Johnson, none. So out of the 10, there's four Super Bowl rings, two to Ben Roethlisberger, one to Reggie Bush, one to Dwight Freeney. You see that list on there? We had a 2,000-yard runner in Chris Johnson. There's no sniff there. Got the best wide receiver in Andre Johnson. Don't see either for 2011. He's not. No offense, Jake Long at 8. Yeah, it's nice to pay offensive lineman. He's a good player, but he's not the best tackle in football. Reggie Bush, 4th. No offense, Reggie Bush isn't even in the top 5 running backs. Mario Williams has played some game now. Got a big contract. He doesn't miss games. He's been durable and played pretty damn well. Should he be the second highest paid player in football? Absolutely not. Elvis Dumervile has been a really good pass rusher. Speed off the edge. No offense, but Elvis Dumervile shouldn't be paid in the top 10 players in the league. He's number one during 2011. He'll make $14 million. Now, take a look at the salaries in baseball, take a look at the salaries in basketball, and then, first of all, considering football and the salaries, $14 million, you want to talk about the NFL's underpaying their players. You got average players in baseball, 260 hitters, that are making $4 million bucks a year. Now, I know 14's 1 year. Don't misunderstand me. But that's our top player. You can go buy. I wonder how many baseball players make $14 million a year. How many NBA players are making $14 million a year? A lot. And there's 10 players. If you're Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees, you're laughing at this shit. You're laughing. You are absolutely laughing. Now, let's see where these guys are now. The Broncos, shitty. Texans, shitty. Jets, reeling. Saints, good. Pittsburgh, good. Bengals, a blow. Colts, more than likely not going to make the playoffs. Dolphins, out. Vikings, out. Lions, out. Of the top 10 players in the league, we've got 3 playoff guys. 3. Reggie Bush, Ben Roethlisberger, and Mark Sanchez. That's it. That's it. 888-346-9144. You're going to tell me there's something wrong? There's not something wrong with that picture? Now, those are the guys that have the most to lose if there's a lockout in 2007. Now, that most to lose is Forbes' way of saying these guys are make the most. I'm not sure they have the most to lose. There's a lot of players who've got a lot to lose. All of them do. But can you please tell me if Cliff Lee is making that money a year, or Derek Jeter, along his career, is making, what, $17 million a year now? Going to make? If Alex Rodriguez, the $20-plus million a year, Pujols, they're at the top of their list. So who's our Alex? Who's our Albert Pujols? Tom Brady? Shouldn't Brady be making about $30 million a year at quarterback? Considering, looking at all the phases of how we pay players, by results and rings and numbers and health and durability, if you're going through all of it in the franchise that he's on, and if he's in a big market franchise or not, how is Brady at the most important position in sports, you heard it, and the hardest to play? I'll get Barry Melrose arguing about the hockey goaltender, and I get that. But considering the pressure, considering what goes on, there's no tougher position in sports to play. You can snap, okay, a running back ain't tougher. Far easier. Linebacker isn't tougher. Physically, it's demanding. Baseball, maybe the toughest thing to do is hit a baseball from a 99-mile-an-hour fastball to an 80-mile-an-hour curve that snaps off the table. But how they make up for it, saying it's okay, you go 3 out of 10 and we'll pay you $25 million a year. That's how you're rewarded in baseball. Okay, it's a tough thing to do. Not a whole lot of physical contact. You may get a cherry on your knee when you slide into second base, or run over the catcher and you know, maybe a broken bone when you have a play at the plate and home, or run into the wall. Few and far between. Pittsburgh, a pitcher gets a blister on his index finger. But when you look around at the sports, and I'm not saying it because I played the position, because I didn't play it like those great ones do. I know damn well quarterbacks are tough, but please don't tell me what's tougher. Hitting the baseball is the toughest thing to do in sports. When a guy's got 3 great pitches, but we don't make it. We don't tell them they got to go 6 out of 10. We tell them you go 3 out of 10 and you can make $35 million. You can make $20 million a year. Alex, go 3 out of 10. And if you got some pop in your bat and can drive in 100 runs and hit 30, 35 home runs, well, then we're going to pay even more. But we're only asking you to be successful 3 times out of 10. In football, if you're successful as a quarterback 3 times out of 10, you know you won't make a team. In football, if you're successful 5 times out of 10, you can't play quarterback in the league. Can't do it. In football, if you fail more than you succeed, you can't play in the league. At quarterback, that's obvious. With a moving target and people hitting you. So if Albert Pujols at the top of his league, or whoever baseball is, basketball's got these guys, the LeBron Jameses or whoever's at the top of their salary, how the hell isn't Tom Brady the top of his salary? How is he not in the top 10 paid quarterbacks and paid players in football? How is he not number one? And you want to know why the NFL players want to lock out and hold out, and why they think the NFL owners are full of shit? because they are. I'm Sean Salisbury. It's Voice America Sports. And yes, again, quarterback is the toughest position to play in any sport at any time. And always will be. We'll be back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Every Monday, tune in after the weekend games for Locker Room Views with Arturo Freeman. It's a sports show that'll keep you talking. We'll go inside the minds and lives of world-class athletes and hear about their views, opinions, and life experiences about the world of sports. Your host, former NFL great Arturo Freeman, will present an action-packed hour every single week. Arturo Freeman, Locker Room Views, is live every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey folks, can I ask you or beg you to send a book, maybe drop by today or tomorrow in the next couple days and just mail a book or 10. A good friend of mine, Tisha Marie, is going through part of a book drive for education benefiting K through 12 in DFW area, as well as internationally enhancing education. It's a University of Oklahoma book program also that donates books to Africa. She has a master's degree and bachelor's degree in human and student, and is a student from OU in human relations. She's just trying to make a difference. The book drive is December 21st. I know it's late notice, but we got 5 days, and I'm sure they'll take all they can get. Can we possibly do this? Can you take a book that you've been reading, or maybe if your kid has completely outread the Dr. Seuss book and you got a bunch of them sitting in a box that are sitting there, and I know that they may hold, you know, 10 years from now, you're going to want to go back and say, remember Green Eggs and Ham? But somebody can use that now. You know, you might have a book sitting around, a novel. Just grab some books. Drop them in the mail. 214, or call, first of all, call this number and they'll give you all the information. 214-531-4166. 214-531-4166. They'll give you the where to drop it off. They'll answer any question. Again, it's 214-531-4166. The book drive for education. And anytime somebody's trying to make a difference like this, I try to help. And I know we all got books sitting around, a paperback book, a book that you just finished reading that's a hardback. You know, and we got these Nooks and these Kindles taking over. So take some time, and it may cost you a couple bucks, but, you know, hey, maybe it's one less present, one less stocking stuffer you buy for somebody else. But education, which is so underrated, and the business is so underpaid, And every time we cut it, it's cut something. We cut something from education in our schools. But you know what? Books make a difference. So please call 214-531-4166, the Book Drive for Education, and please try to make a difference. We can all give a book. If it's one in 1,000 people do it, think about the difference we're going to make. If there's 10,000 people giving two, now do that. You know, post it on your Facebook wall. Post that number on your Facebook wall. Please, post it up there, the Book Drive for Education. Tell them you're talking about it right here on this show and that you're doing it for a friend and that you're trying to make a difference. 214-531-4166. Stick it on your Twitter. Stick it on your, to call that number to donate a book to the Book Drive and to make a difference. 214-531-4166, please. And take a few minutes. Stick it up on your Facebook or post it on somebody's wall so these kids can have a difference. And, you know, adults that aren't at an adult reading level just make a difference. All right, talking about the NFC West, which is going to hit hard. I mean, it's pathetic that a team is allowed to be 7-9 or 8-8 and win a division and get a home field game. Have to reseed. It's embarrassing that the St. Louis Rams could be hosting a team like New Orleans. It's embarrassing. New Orleans finished the second division, depending on, you know, I'm just giving you a name of possible wild card teams. It's embarrassing that they're going to have to go on the road and play St. Louis or Seattle. You think Seattle deserves that? Playing out in that horseshit division 6 games a year against the three other teams in that division. It's awful. I personally under the belief that we got to change the NFL so much that we don't allow sub-500 teams or 500 teams to make the playoffs. The people will say, the purists are going to say, oh, that's the way it's set up. Never know, it's the little guy. Well, the little guy wouldn't get into the NC2A tournament in basketball with an 8-8 record. The only way they'd get in is they had a conference championship, and the lowest seed in the tournament, which doesn't happen very often, that the lowest seed in the tournament runs through the conference tournament and wins and gets an automatic berth because they won the conference tournament. That doesn't happen very often in college basketball where the lowest seed wins the tournament. Well, the lowest seed in the NFC ain't making the Super Bowl. And the lowest seed in the NFC or in football does not deserve a home field game in the first round of the wild card. If you can't get to 500, I don't believe you should be in the playoffs. I'd rather have, you tell me, let's say the Packers miss out on the playoffs. Unless you're an NFC West homer fan, who's got a better chance to win a first-round playoff game or make a difference? Aaron Rodgers at quarterback and his team or Alex Smith and his 49ers at home, mind you? And who's got a better, I mean, you know what? The NFC West hasn't earned the right to host a playoff game. Reseed it. See, I think you put it all in. We have our divisions taken in. Let's take the 6 best teams in each conference. And if 4 teams have a better record, then if 4 teams in the NFC in one conference, which wouldn't happen, I wouldn't think, but if all of a sudden 4 teams in one conference had a better record than a team out west, then the team out west doesn't go to the playoffs. So, well, we don't want them. All the NFC West is doing is muddy in the water. Muddy in the water. And bringing the curve down because they're ridiculous. It's from James at Palo Alto at SeanSalz@gmail.com. I just wanted to say that I think one advantage of giving an NFC West team an automatic berth is that nobody else would give a shit about any of those 4 teams otherwise. That's my point, and I don't care about any of them. Matter of fact, it's painful that we have to even turn them on. We shouldn't even put them on the schedule to watch an NFL game. We should keep it all local so people in Seattle can watch their silly-ass Seahawks play, and San Francisco can watch their – don't give somebody in the Midwest the 49ers versus the Seahawks. We don't care. We don't care about Pete Carroll's Seahawks. And don't give a rat's ass about Ken Wisenhunt's Arizona Cardinals. Make them – punish their fans and make them watch it. You black it out there and let us watch it? Hell no. Put it on there so those fools can watch those pussy-ass bitch teams play. Jeez, who wants to watch that? Now people at least have some kind of reason to watch their games, right? Like I said, leave it local. We got it backwards. Don't black out a game in St. Louis or in Seattle. Punish those fans and make them watch their own team. If I lived in Seattle now, I don't want to watch the Seahawks. I'd rather watch Tampa play Carolina than I would watch the Seahawks play the 49ers and see which one of the more pitiful ones can win. They have some kind of reason to watch their games. It's a tight division race, which is actually kind of exciting, I think. Well, James, more power to you. I don't think there's one thing exciting about the NFC West, not one thing. I love you to death. That's not exciting. That's boredom. The only thing that makes it exciting is we're trying to figure out which one of those horses-ass teams actually is going to get a home game so we can laugh at them when they get pummeled by a visiting team. Still, a 7-9 team has no business hosting a home game in the playoffs. A 7-9 team should not be in the playoffs. If you can't play 500 football, we reseed, and that's just that. Hey, if we can take a Heisman Trophy away from Reggie Bush for stupidity and for doing what he did, we could sure as hell take away a playoff spot for stupidity and bad football. We're going to reward the world with great football, then reward them with great football. If a team can go 7-9 and make the playoffs, we ought to tell them, you know what, chalk it up again for 2011. You ain't going to the playoffs this year. We're taking the 6 best teams. Also, Sal Alossi ordered the Jets to build a wall, yep, with his players. To anyone who says he acted alone on the team culture and Rex had nothing to do with it, I ask, will this ever happen on the Patriots? Culture and respect have a lot to do with it. Sure it does. Couldn't agree more. Now, like I said, I'm a huge Rex Ryan fan. But there's a culture that's involved where you think you can get away with anything in certain places, and there's also a culture involved where you don't even attempt to get away with anything in certain franchises. In Seattle, in Philly, you just don't do those things. You just don't do those things. In New England, Belichick wouldn't let you get away with it. Tony Dungy was the coach, Tony wasn't having any part of it. You're going to do it the right way, or you're just not going to do it. Well, and people say, I heard Jeff Van Gundy of all they're talking about. He said, you can't fire this guy, blah, 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 made enough of it. Van Gundy was defending Sal Alossi. And, you know, I normally would say, not that big a deal. But premeditated, you know, you say, well, was it competitive or just stupid? And yeah, they're doing right on this. Suspend him indefinitely and get deeper into it. And how dare the players actually listen to the coach and form a wall? Are we going to punish any of them, or do they get off easy? The players who just, the strength and conditioning coach, who's no offense, but when it comes to pecking order of coaches, he's the low man on the totem pole. The strength, and now he matters a lot to a team to get his team in shape, but he's the low man on the salary / pecking order. The last guy who'd get to call a play on the coaching staff would be the strength and conditioning coach. Okay, but what? Some guy's got to say form a wall. I mean, don't any of these players have the balls to say, nah, you know what? I'm not going to stand on the sidelines and get myself in trouble, be affiliated. We got the picture of all the players. We got them standing there. When do those pussies step up and have to be accountable and say, you know what? I shouldn't have done it. Could there be a little humor involved in it? I guess if you want to devise it and say and build it the way you want it, there can be humor. But I personally don't think it's that funny. What if the guy blows out a knee and the people are going to say, well, he didn't? Well, it's competitive. No, it's not competitive. It's stupid. It's illegal and it's wrong. Yet we're going to fine a guy $25,000 for a legal hit on a quarterback because it was vicious. But we're going to give this guy, you know, somewhat of a hall pass. Well, we'll fine him $25,000. Well, let's suspend him indefinitely. Let's do that. Because of a knee/thigh to a guy running down the sidelines. I'm normally one for having some fun. It's inexcusable, folks. And Jeff Van Gundy's out of his damn mind suggesting on the NBA broadcast last night that this guy shouldn't be punished. This is the same Jeff Van Gundy, who I like. I like Jeff. It's the same Jeff Van Gundy when you ask him to compare Shaquille O'Neal to Wilt Chamberlain, won't do it. Afraid to do it. He's afraid to compare players because he thinks it disrespects the one. So he won't compare LeBron James to Kobe Bryant because he doesn't want to hurt their feelings, because Jeff obviously wants to coach again. And if the right coaching gig came up, he doesn't want to have to coach a guy, and the guy comes up and say, well, you said Kobe was better than me. Yeah, I did. I was a broadcaster. I think he is. Now, Mark Jackson will just flat out tell you, that guy's better than that guy. Rajon Rondo's having a tough time, can't defend because of his ankle. Got to keep him on the bench. That's the thing. The one, Mark Jackson's great because Mark Jackson will not kiss your ass. Mark Jackson's one of the best game announcers, color announcers there is, you know, the color commentators that there is. He calls Van Gundy when Van Gundy sits on the fence. And Van Gundy, a lot of times, the most critical Van Gundy is of officials. He'll jump down an official's throat. I give him credit for that. But when it comes to players, he's afraid. He will not compare players. He thinks it disrespects the other player. It doesn't disrespect the other player. Mark Jackson hit it last night. Well, talking about this run is Patrick Ewing-esque when they're talking about that he's doing what Patrick Ewing did when you talk about Stoudemire to Ewing. And Mark Jackson kind of took offense to it, said, Patrick Ewing, you don't compare 9 games to Patrick Ewing's career. And he's exactly right. Jeff Van Gundy wouldn't touch it. He goes, well, that's why I don't like to compare. Make a comparison. Mark Jackson flat out said, no, Stoudemire's having an MVP year, but how dare you compare him to Patrick Ewing on this short period of time? Stupid. It's the same with this. Have the balls to step your game up. If you're one of those players, say, Sal, we can't do this. Can't do this. But when you get guys saying, oh, it's not that big a deal, and he's a coach, you start to wonder, Van Gundy out of his mind. And I like Jeff, but I don't like fence sitters. I don't like guys who will sit on the fence and puss out because they're afraid that somebody's going to be offended because you said Kobe's better than LeBron. If you think Kobe's better than LeBron, say it. These players have big enough egos. They'll overcome Jeff Van Gundy, one who's better, Amari Stoudemire or Pat Ewing. Okay? I love Peyton Manning. Could be one of the all-time best. Right now, Peyton Manning ain't even in the same league as Tom Brady, the way he's playing. Now, 3 weeks from now, Peyton Manning can throw 15 straight touchdowns here in the next three games. Peyton Manning is the one going to end up on the all-time list top 5. So will Brady. Goes back and forth. Who's the better running back? Or who's the better quarterback? Brady or Manning? It's Brady because he's going to win the MVP. He's having a better year. Pretty simple. All other factors we can factor in. Say what you want. And you're not going to tell me this is a comparison. Is Elvis Dumervil the best defensive end in football right now deserving that money? Hell damn no, he's not. He makes more money than Brady, Breeze, and Phillip Rivers and Manning. Good player. Great pass rusher. Hasn't done it long enough for me to be paying him $14 million a year. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're unfiltered. Nothing wrong with having a take. James, thanks for your good email. It's okay to compare. Just do it with a brain. Sal Alosi, you made a mistake. Be shocked if you have your job back when the season's up. If you do, the Jets are loyal as hell. It's unfiltered. Got about 40 minutes left in the show.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a 3-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Never be satisfied. Let that be a lesson you take away from Double Time with Double D, featuring businessman and former NFL star Dave Duerson. We'll talk about the NFL with special focuses on the game itself, and Double D will take your calls and answer your emails live on the show. It's not Football 101, but rather an in-depth look in the locker room, on the field, away from the field, and opening up the mind of the player. The program will also feature positive messages, so tune in to Double Time with Double D, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's S-E-A-N-S-A-L-S @gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
We are unfiltered 5 days a week, 10 to 12 Eastern, and out on the West Coast, that would make it 7 to 9 Eastern. We're unfiltered. We give you a free rein to come on here and say what you want and hit the subjects we need to hit. Those top 10 salaries in the NFL coming in 2012, pretty amazing, isn't it? Does it blow your mind a little bit? It does mine. But we are facing some serious time. And I know that Roger Goodell, the timing of the Super Bowl, they're going to do all they can to time it where there's been an offer made before the Super Bowl. You guys know that. They're going to try to make that offer. The owners are going to try to get in good light with the fans and vice versa. And they're going to try to push it and pull it and make it seem like it's one of the other's fault. Negotiating will happen. Negotiating will happen through the media. It always does. It always does. And no matter what you think, it's the players who make the league, it's the owners who pay the league, and the NFL front office is on the owner's side. The NFL front office is on the owner's side. And if you don't believe that, then you have been watching sports, you don't know very much. 888-346-9144. I hope everybody's having a good Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday. And we were talking, and one more thing, as I said earlier this week, that I brought up the Baltimore Orioles staff and said I believe there was 20 game winners, four of them, and there was back in 71. As we said, you know, Palmer 20-9, Mike Cuellar 20-9, Dave McNally 21-5, Pat Dobson 20-8. They actually went on that World Series and lost to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And, you know, we got people putting these four guys, Hamels, Lee, Halliday, Oswalt, in the Hall of Fame, and I get it. And I also brought up, man, when's the last time we had, four starters like that? And you go Maddox, Glavine, Smoltz, and Steve Avery. I mean, they were pretty doggone good. You know, Maddox, Glavine, Smoltz, accounted, they got six Cy Youngs. And Glavine also, let's see, Glavine had six finishes in the top three. Maddox was in the top five in eight seasons. Smoltz got Cy Young votes in five seasons, so that they were good. They were the, I mean, I'd have to say that's the most recent. And then the one other one they put in here, and we didn't talk about it, was in 1973, Oakland had a pretty good chance. And I don't remember who the fourth guy on that staff was, but their front three was pretty damn good. Catfish Hunter was 21-5. Kenny Holtzman, 21-13. And Vida Blue, 20-9. Oakland won their third consecutive world championship. Yeah, 20. They gave Oakland a third consecutive world championship in 1974, so the year after that. But in 73, those guys had that record. And that was the year, remember, when Catfish Hunter won 25 games. And the Oakland A's had the best ERA. That was in the days when we'd see the big red machine against the goatee-wearing, long-haired Oakland Athletics, always had hair on their face, the Gene Tennises, the Sal Bandos, the Bert Campanarises, the Billy Norths, Reggie Jackson, Joe Rudy, that group. And Catfish Hunter, 25 wins in 74, and they went on to win their third consecutive World Series. They had built a dynasty then. So just to re-bring that back, because the Cliff Lee talk is going to continue, we're less than, 60 days away, or right at 60 days, right in there, little over 60 days away from heading to spring training, pitchers and catchers report. Can you believe that? The damn World Series got over in early November. These guys' offseason's almost over. They'll get involved in some of the hype of, you know, the Super Bowl. Once the Super Bowl and the playoffs are done, they got to start playing. Can you believe that? What an off-season that baseball players don't get. But then they get the best time of year, too. Oh, spring training in Arizona, a little golf on the day off. Boy, if you had to do it all over again, wouldn't you put a baseball bat in your kid's hands? And both my sons were great baseball players but decided they didn't want to play anymore. They got bored, moved to lacrosse and did some other things. But can you imagine? Can you imagine? Baseball is the gig, man. Baseball is the gig. It'd be awesome. Son, you could fail 7 times out of 10, but you can actually be a star. Fail 7 times out of 10. Guys, does Dennis Rodman belong in the Hall of Fame? I know, you know, Facebook's going on a campaign to create that page, as they do for a lot of people. Some of the guys that are in that class, I mentioned one, Mark Jackson, Reggie Miller, Bernard King, Chris Mullin, Don Nelson. Second year of eligibility for Rodman. He's got 5 rings, was a great defender and one of the best rebounders in his years in Chicago and Detroit and Los Angeles and San Antonio, even the Dallas Mavericks. He led the NBA in rebounding 7 times. Averaging more than 15 rebounds a game as a 6'7", basically, skinny, non-shooter. And he was first or second all-defensive team 8 years in a row. Does he belong in Hall of Fame? Of all those names, Miller, Mullen, Rodman, Mark Jackson, Bernie King, Don Nelson, is Reggie Miller the surefire guarantee? And if you remember when he came out of school, Reggie Miller, I went to school with Cheryl Miller, who was widely considered at that time the greatest women's basketball player ever and is still on that list, and she's a Hall of Famer. People used to say, and Reggie was a decent player at UCLA, was not a great player early on at UCLA, was not. Always a great shooter. But there were people that said that the brother wasn't as good as his sister when they came out of school. And he caught a lot of flack for that for a long time. Heck, now they both work on the same TNT basketball crew. But there was a lot of flack that said, is Reggie better than Cheryl? Cheryl was special. I mean, I was at school when Paula McGee, Pam McGee, Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Miller were all on the same team. We were the UConn before UConn was UConn then. Every year it was USC battling for a national title. But is Reggie Miller, a guy that went from not being, people thought, as good as his sister to being the surefire? Is he the Hall of Fame guy? Mark Jackson's near the top of the all-time assist list. Great leader. I'm actually shocked Mark Jackson's not a head coach in basketball. I know they've talked about it and mentioned his name in times and past, the coaching jobs. I'm shocked he's not coaching a basketball team. I think Mark Jackson would have the same impact that Doc Rivers has. I think Mark Jackson, point guards in basketball are like catchers in baseball. They just somehow turn out to be pretty good at what they do. You know, they know how to lead a floor. They understand how to distribute and get people involved, so they're not selfish. They understand that being the point guard has to be a guy who gets everybody their shots at the right place on the floor and is a great leader. And I'll be shocked if Mark Jackson someday isn't a head coach. I'm actually shocked he's not now. I believe that he's built for that. Does he make it? Chris Mullin's had some good years. Is C. Mullin a Hall of Famer? And with all those names, will Dennis Rodman's madness keep him out of the Hall of Fame? Because you'd think a guy who's been on the all-defensive team, first, second team 8 times, 15 years, leads the average 15 rebounds in his career, led the league 7 times as an undersized rebounder, has, 5 championship rings? Won 5 rings. Is his craziness going to cost him a Hall of Fame bid? Is that how we vote on it? Because as a player, don't you think Dennis Rodman earned it? He proved it on a bunch of different teams. He made an impact wherever he went. Didn't Dennis Rodman earn it? Just curious. What do you guys think? 888-346-9144, SeanSals@gmail.com. You know what? I'm inclined to say Dennis Rodman is a Hall of Famer, but I'm also inclined to say that he's not going to make it. I'd be a little nervous about what kind of speech he was going to give, although Michael Jordan's speech was as pathetic as any speech we've ever had. instead of a thank you humble for the greatest player that some said ever lived, and I was embarrassed. Here's Michael Jordan, who I love, that you thought would go up there and be gracious and say thanks and nice. But, boy, heads were tilted and looked down as he just went on a barrage of embarrassing people and calling them out. Michael used that forum, his induction speech into the Hall of Fame, to ridicule guys that he dominated during his day. I'm not sure I've heard a more Bush League speech in my career since ever than the greatest going up there. All Michael Jordan had to say is be humble and do it. We'd be giving him all the accolades he needed. But to have to go up there on Isaiah and talking about, you know, ripping players and all along the way. It was like, my gosh, these guys are here in the stands. And then you hear David Robinson's speech and eloquent and does the right thing. To me, the biggest blemish for me on Michael Jordan's career, I know the gambling's there and he's divorced from his wife, Juanita, and I get that. But as far as when it comes to just basketball, the biggest blemish for me, hey, going to play baseball, yeah, that was that. And people start to wonder, did he go play baseball and go away for a couple years because baseball, you know, it was a way of getting away because the gambling and David Stern didn't want to suspend the best player in the NBA, so tell him to go away for a while. So it goes away. Maybe that was the case. But the baseball thing, you know, Unimbike wasn't going to be a good baseball player, but it was curious. But to me, the biggest blemish on a rather unbelievable career and a guy I really like was his Hall of Fame speech. I thought Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech was despicable and embarrassing for him. And he got ripped for it. What would Rodman's be like? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? And who would show up? Reggie Miller will get inducted into this Hall of Fame. Does Dennis Rodman belong? Got a couple emails. Got about 30 minutes left in the show. We'll roll along. It's Sean Salisbury Unfiltered.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on, it will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone, where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds
left to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So, yeah, talking about it, does Rodman belong in? We've hit some good topics today. You know, these players, the 10 guys that are losing money, Doomerville, Williams, Sanchez, Bush, Roethlisberger, Palmer, Freeney, Long, Peterson, and Johnson. Those are the 10 highest-paid players in 2011 in football. Yeah, curious. No Rivers, no Breeze, no Chris Johnson, no Andre Johnson, no Manning, no Brady. None of those guys are on there. Strange, huh? Strange. talked about some of the emotions going through at the holiday season. People have to go through some difficult times. I'm living proof of it. Living proof of it. Last 4 years have been very tough. Last 2, last 3 in particular. And I hope this holiday season finds you well, and if you're going through those difficult times, that you can muster up the strength and the courage to get through it and stand tall. And whatever the reason you're going through those tough times, I'm sorry. I really am. Because I'm living it. And every day I fight not to be reclusive and to go out and into public and to try to do it. Every day I fight to try and go away from that. And it's hard on me every day, sometimes harder. If it's not for my kids, I really don't do anything. So you guys give me your greatest Christmas party. We'll do that next week, your best Christmas party. And I haven't been to a Christmas party in 4 years. I miss them, but I haven't been in 4 years. So I don't get out much. So I'm going to live vicariously through you. I know a lot of people out there, because I'm opinionated and have an unfiltered show, but a lot of my unfiltered is also unfiltered sensitivity for other people or people that are going through struggles. Oh, athlete and broadcaster, and he's unfiltered, and he gets after it, and he kids about women, and we talk about fun things on the show and let everybody be unfiltered. I don't have much of a social life, folks. So we're going to get your Christmas stories and maybe what you want for Christmas. We'll put a list, and obviously I'll put a list together of what we want to give athletes next week, maybe for a show, put together the list of what we want to give athletes for Christmas. Or entertainers. Speaking of which, does anybody know? You know, I didn't look. Part of my, I don't get out much, and I, somebody has to usually bring it to my attention. I'm not one of those guys that scams TMZ and goes through all the, you know, the gossip columns to look at what's going on in celebrity life. Maybe I should. Maybe I need an intern to do that, or somebody to do that, or hire somebody to that does that kind of stuff. I just don't do it. I pretty much look for stuff that gets my goat and gets me going and wants me to, you know, that I want to be fired up about. And it's usually not, you know, celebrity watching or stalking or saying this person's bad. Now, some good stories, you can't help it. You know, you always love what Oprah does at Christmas and making sure that she gets, you know, all the presents people get. And then some of it bothers people. It thinks that Oprah's self-serving, blah, blah, you know, those type of things. But if it's in the new, like, movies, I'll discuss movies. We should have a movie review on here, too. I'm one of those guys that my social life is so pathetic. Like today, if I do get out of the house, if I do leave, I'll go to a double feature by myself. And I'm usually a guy, if it entertains me at all, I give it a thumb up. And it can be kind of an awful movie. I went and saw, and I thought it was good. What's the movie out, the new animated movie? See, now I can't even remember. See, I'm so screwed up. What movie did I just see a couple nights ago with my kid and my nephew I see so many movies, but that's it. It'll come to me. I don't even remember. But I liked it. It was a good movie. It was entertaining. Thought it was pretty cool. I'm going to find it out while I'm talking to you. But, you know, like this celebrity thing. So what I was going to say, what happened to Scarlett Johansson and Ryan Reynolds? Like I said, I don't watch TMZs, or I don't watch, what are those shows called, like the one where Mary Hart is sitting there at the thing and talking about all the celebrity news. I don't pay much attention to that. I used to probably pay a little bit more. Only time I ever see any of it is if I go by and see it on the cover of a magazine, Us Weekly, sitting on the newsstand while I'm checking out after buying groceries. So I'm trying to figure out what happened. And when I watch TV, it's if it's not a sporting event, it's, you know, a movie. I watch a lot of cartoons, and I watch the movies, and I watch CSI Miami and like I said, Criminal Minds or Hawaii 5-0 or The Defenders or, you know, Detroit or Blue Bloods, whatever. But what I'm trying to figure out, what happened at 888-346-9144? What went on? What went on with Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson? Why are they getting divorced? Or are they divorced? Or is it just talk? Man, that's a bummer. What happened? Somebody talk to me. Because she's hot. Damn, she's hot. A lot of women think he's hot. I think he was voted sexiest man of the year, wasn't he? Didn't I see that on People magazine? Wasn't he like the sexiest man of the year? I'm not sure, but I think he was. Oh, The Chronicles of Narnia. That's the one. I saw that. Saw that the other night. My son and my nephew. And I thought it was good. Of all these movies out, I haven't seen Tangled. I've seen Unstoppable with Denzel Washington. Good. Love and Other Drugs was a good movie with Anne Hathaway and Jake Gyllenhaal. Due Date, hilarious, with Downey Jr. and that Zach dude. Faster. I see pretty much all of them. So my point is what goes on? What happened with that? If there's somebody out there who knows, fill me in. Try to figure out what happened with Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson. She's hot. She's pretty. She can have a lot of different looks too. Pretty good actress, but she's hot. She's hot, and I think. They're a good-looking couple. So what happens? Somebody banging somebody else? Somebody cheating? What's going on? If you know that, call me. 888-346-9144. I don't know why so many people are afraid to pick up the phone and call. I really don't. I don't know why people don't call and why they're afraid to. It's okay to call. You know, if you got some information, we love it. I get a lot of emails and stuff, and I can't get to all the time, but call. Let me know. Here's my man Mark McIntosh, an email at seansolz@gmail.com. Yes, Rodman should be in the Hall of Fame. We need to remember sports is entertainment, and I would watch the Bulls to watch Rodman. Great point. And others. But he was great to watch. He never knew what was going to happen when he was on the court. Loved it. Made for a good show. You need to have the good guys and the bad. Rodman, Lambeer, Barkley, love those guys. And they were good. It's a good point. Mac, you make a great point. I am completely in agreement with you. I think when you can play that good and be that much of a weirdo, or should I say beat to your own drum, and still get it done on the court, had his problems, suspensions, and the rest of it, but he rebounded, he defended. He did exactly what was asked of him to be on championship teams. I believe he belongs in the Hall of Fame, and any of those voters that, ooh, he's weird, then you know what? Strip him of their ballot. Strip him. He deserves, you know what? If you're not voting for him because you think he's a bit different or a bit of a freak, then you don't know how to vote for good players. Another one from my man AC. Parity in the NFL has created mediocre football teams. We're talking about should an NFC West team even belong in the playoffs. And it's time to change the system. It's a disgrace in the NFL and the teams that earn a right by winning their games to have to travel to a 7-9 venue to play a game. No doubt. 100% true, AC. And then Sal Alossi. I know I've said too much on this topic. Now you haven't. You haven't said enough. You're awesome. I never bought his phony bullshit apology. By the way, please note the cover team drove the Dolphins returner to the side of the field. This definitely went up higher than originally stated. Yep, they drove him over to that side, the cover team. So was the special teams coach in on it? If they had their kick return set up to where they were going to set it up, maybe a right return, so we drove him into the left sideline. Was it all set up? Is this a deeper conspiracy? Did Sal Alossi and the special teams coach talk, and he said, hey, we'll form a wall. Make them go the other way. You tell me. Is winning a football game, is it that important to these guys that they'll grab a conspiracy to get it done? That's what I want to know. And I think his apology was bullshit, and I think that the NFL needs to do something about it. I think do something about it. Please. Do something about it. Like I said, I'm all for fun, but that's not funny. It's not funny. You're not one of the 11 on the field. You don't be on the field, and you don't deserve to make a play. One of my friends sends in and said, people don't call because they don't want to interrupt. They enjoy sports talk. You're the king of sports. Well, I don't know if I'm the king of sports by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not the king of anything. Hell, I'm not even a household name in my own home. I don't even know if I'm any good at this business. Maybe I ought to go be a blue-collar guy and work at Home Depot and be able to make a difference in somebody's life. I don't know. I love talking it. I got a passion for it. Don't know if I'm any good at it, but I sure love it. I know damn well when I put a coat and tie on and I can sit there on a TV and talk sports that I can run roughshod over 99.8.9% of the analysts that are on these national networks, and the funny thing about it is they know it too. I'll leave a name out of an Emmy award winning broadcaster who came up to me a handful of years ago and said, I do my Sunday show. He said, but I watch you during NFL Live and throughout SportsCenter on the week, all week long, and then I just kind of regurgitate and say what you say on Sunday. And so I appreciate you helping me in my preparation. Now, I'm not saying that, but I prepared hard, I had passion, so I do know how to do that part of it. I do know what I'm talking about. The players respect me, and I get in close, and even when I have to criticize them, they still respect me. So when I was told that by this one guy who's an Emmy Award-winning Sunday broadcaster, who does a studio show on Sunday, who told me that, it made me feel good. Big-name guy said, I just take your stuff, put a little of my stuff in, and realize that, man, I get a lot of my preparation watching you during the week, quote-unquote. I get another guy who's a Sunday guy, a new addition, recent Sunday guy in the last couple years, who said that everything he's learned and everything he tried to position himself to be on a Sunday studio show was from watching what I did on TV. The passion, the preparation, the opinion. And I was honored. He's a very dear friend to this day. And you know what? Those two compliments there, I don't need any more compliments. Like I said, there's better looking, there's people who are making more money the rest of it, but I know when you put good football talk, passion, preparation, and knowing the game, that I can do it with any of them. I can do it with any of them. And when I have two guys that are two of the more popular award-winning guys on the planet doing Sunday shows tell me this, those are the only two compliments I'll ever need from that, because I know they watch, and I know they know what I put into it, and both of them are former Pro Bowl players. So you wonder if you're having an impact on that part of it, maybe not on life, but it's a small impact. In my own little world, those compliments meant the world to me. So whether I ever get back on network television or get to do that again, I don't know. But I know damn well I can make it better. I can make ESPN better. I can make Fox better. I can make NBC studio show better. Because I can make guys around me better with the enthusiasm and energy and preparation. It heightens everybody's game. And if people want opinion and want true opinion and fair and want it passionately, they'll put me back in that situation. But I love doing this. We'll come back. And don't be afraid to call in here. I'll give you all the form you need. You're not interrupting anything. Hell, I'm just a two-hour bonehead. It's a jag-a-mahoney trying to get through, telling you good sports and having passion and fun about it. Why did Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson go by the wayside? I don't know. Somebody email me or tell me. Because, isn't it amazing? Somebody always is tired of banging somebody good-looking. There's always another one. Amazing, isn't it? Somebody's always tired of banging somebody else. Richard Gere and Cindy Crawford got tired of banging each other. Is that what happened here? I'm clueless. But I don't get tired of talking to you guys and trying to make a difference. I love my life. I love my career, even when I'm down. Thank you. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Your You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalz@gmail.com. That's SeanSalz@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Well, I don't know. You know, you don't know if you make an impact, but when you hear two stars like that tell you that they shaped a lot of the things they do on TV based on what you did, it sure made me feel good. And does it hurt my feelings that I'm not on national? Sure it does. I think I suffered my time. People saying, well, you made a mistake, so slap his hand. I not only got my hand slapped, I got kicked in the teeth, pushed down. It's cost me a lot. It's cost me a lot of self-worth and self-esteem, too, folks. The last 4 years have been brutal. Brutal. Everybody's got a big, trust me, the most brutal is losing my dad. But it just all, when it all comes down, and once it's tough, like I said, I'm a guy who doesn't need much. I don't need a pat on the back. I just need an opportunity, and I take it and run with it. Because I can be a prick when it comes to being single-minded and wanting to do the right thing. But I also am a giving, loving guy and realize there's millions of people better, millions of people worse off. But I damn well know I've earned the right to be back on network and national television and have a show. I damn well know I have. Because I damn well know what you're seeing on sports TV right now is not the best sports TV you deserve. It's not the best sports TV. I could take John Clayton away from ESPN, and we could put a show on, and I love Mike Wilbon, and I've said it, and I love Tony Kornheiser, friends of mine. We'd put a show on that would run PTI into the ground. They'd finish second in a ratings show like that. Throw me on Fox National TV, and I'd have Howie and Mike Strahan and that group reeling in a good way. Watch their energy level go up. Stick me with Tony Dungy and Rodney Harrison, and no offense, that show needs help. Rodney Harrison's my boy, and he brings some opinion, but they need to raise the bar a little bit for a Sunday night football show. And trust me, with opinion and getting after it, that bar can be raised. We damn well know that ESPN, that bar needs raised on their football coverage. That's the bottom line. They're losing something there. And I'm not saying I'm the catch-all, but I damn well know one person does make a difference as far as energy and passion and opinion, and we don't get enough of it. And the CBS show, you can have all you want. Let me just put it to you this way. Thank God James Brown's the best host in all of sports. Thank God they got JB hosting that show. And I'll leave it at that. That being said, you know what? Whether it's Versus or Spike, I would love to have an hour show doing a sports show like that, opinion and getting after it. Would love to. I don't actually, you know, pine for much and ask for much or any of that. I just want the opportunity. I'll kick the door in with an opportunity, and Voice America Sports has given me this opportunity. Hopefully my new Inside Sports show will too, but I'm a football sports guy that gives opinion, and I pray that I have that opportunity again. From 2006 to now, I've served my time. I've learned a lesson. It should have been a small lesson, but it's become a monumental lesson that's taken over my life as far as what it's done to me socially, emotionally, financially, physically. I've had to get back into it. And you guys are the first people I've shared this with, other than a few close friends, and how it makes me feel. Because a lot of us, our careers are what drives us outside of our kids. So, yes, I'd like the opportunity to do it again, because I'm not good at much. I'm really not. I'm not any good at much. I'm good at being a dad. I'm good at caring for other people. I'm good at an open heart and making sure somebody has something that maybe the next person doesn't have. But I'm not a loud talking, money spending, want to drive 15 car. That's not me. I'm not a go-in-your-face celebrity and tell you who I am. I don't care about all that. I want to be a difference maker. And the only thing I really know how to do is be a sports guy and have the passion to try and open up an opportunity for you fans to hear the truth. Not the smut, but the fun truth and the good hardcore sports that you pay to go watch. So I hope to God some executive out there says, you know what, we need that. The guy's done served his time far more than he should have. And I'm okay getting punched in the face. I've been punched in the face enough. And I've punched back, but you know what? It's time. It's time for me to take the next level. And it is, and I've earned it. But you guys are the reason I'm doing this. I love doing this. I love doing it. Like I said, I don't need a pat on the back or anybody feeling sorry for shit. Are you kidding me? I was raised in a family of tough, hard-nosed, sensitive, big-hearted people. But when you put our back to the wall, we fought back. And I fought back to the point of getting in trouble for it. Believe me, I've overloaded my mouth plenty. I'm an average, normal guy who has a passion for what he does in his career and just wants to be a dad. Hell, I'll probably never be married again. I don't have a life that's out there with, well, I don't do anything. I'm a dad. That's it. I can tell you what time Criminal Minds comes on, on Wednesday night, but I can't tell you when the next Christmas party is. So I know nothing. I just know I love this, and it's what I do. And I hope to have the opportunity to serve you guys doing it a lot more. And I hope your holiday season is awesome. We'll have fun with gifts and talking about it throughout the week. And my best to Larry King. Some love him, some don't. Tonight, the 25 years of interviewing people ends. Larry King will no longer be on Larry King Live. Been through a lot of wives, but he's interviewed some great people, and he gives them a forum to talk. Quite a run at 77. He's a broadcast Hall of Famer and should be. But he'll be doing side stuff, I'm sure, but the legendary run-ins tonight. So good luck to Larry King. It's got to be hard knowing that you've done something your whole life and you're giving it up. It's got to be hard. I appreciate you guys listening to some of the nonsense and some of the fun. I'm going to go find out what happened to Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson. Hate to see it happen to married couples. Hate to see it. But I'm grateful for this show. It kind of gives me a chance to open up because I never open up. I kind of spend a lot of time talking to walls, so thank you. We'll see you guys tomorrow from 9 to 11 Central, 10 to 12 Eastern. Appreciate you. Spread the word. Help with that book drive. And put your arm around somebody who needs it. Have a great day, people. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.